Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here
good
we
morning.
Are with our series on We're All Called to Be Prophets. And, you know, we keep reminding everybody it's about how do we assist each other in speaking into situations as we're together. And we talked last time about the beauty of we do it together, our Father, and give us, help us lead, you know, understand to live in the kingdom and to receive your will. And he says, I give all of you the Holy Spirit. And together, use your gifting to receive what I say, contribute that to the process it through, and then get confirmation.
Right.
That you know, that you know, you know. And you gave, you know, gave that great story of your situation where you had the snowstorm. And there was confirmation when God said 2 o'clock. See, it's such a beautiful privilege. Think about this. First of all, one of you said, I'm hearing two, we better do two. And you better show, you know, and okay, fine, if you say so. You know, it's, you know, I'm hearing two, what are you hearing?
Yeah.
2 o'clock. Oh. So we confirm it. Are we ready to confirm it? Yep. The neat thing is, okay, well then let's together go at two. And God, we believed it. We heard it. We believed it. We did it. As you did it, God proved it.
Yes.
Do you see what I did and why I wanted you to go at 2 and not 2:30? Yeah, we did. Okay. Now think about this. It happened. And you heard it. You confirmed it. You believed it. You did it. What, when you experience that, what does that do for you doing it the next time?
Well, it builds your faith and your confidence in doing it, right? Yeah. And comically for us in that particular situation, you know, that weekend, we were taking that weekend away with that leadership group for the very purpose of really building each other up and and making sure we're all doing what we say, you know, as we're giving this away, we really are living this out, right? And all of that. And it gave, like God just gave us this beautiful story from the very beginning of each of us experiencing it, walking into it to say, okay, remember, this is a rock. This is how I work. You must operate this way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because see, it's not hypothetical. It's God at work that we begin to recognize that we can hear it. We can confirm it. We can then fulfill it. And God will then show us his supernatural work that reinforces, well, why don't you live that way?
Right.
And do it more and more and more, which as you learn it, you truly do. Because why would you avoid the privilege of that? So, you know, Linda and I have been doing this, you know, for scores and decades, and we still enjoy and have inner circle. What are we hearing? What do we need to understand? Please help me confirm it. Give me the power and the encouragement to fulfill it. And we get to see God at work all the time. And we live out the grand life. Now, remember,
and we've said both this, freedom and adventure, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's interesting. It's new. And we're not avoiding. We don't get a situation where we never have trouble. It's in the middle of the trouble. We know that God will resolve it. And we trust that. And we get to live the grand life in the middle of a life of adversity, you know, and so it's kind of fun. So as we think about this, you know, last time we talked about together seek, you know, to stay in the kingdom, seek his will, ask, seek, and knock. I'll give you the Holy Spirit to confirm it. Enjoy it together. He says that there's some truth behind this of why it's such a beautiful privilege to do this. So let's first of all look at Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 and 20.
Sure. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yeah. Okay, now think about when we first started this last week, we set up that God has created a new heaven, a heaven and an earth, and we're part of this fallen earth, and that we talked about even a description of the weather, that the function and the entropy of the world is under the control, the authority of Satan.
Of the enemy.
And we gave verses ahead and behind the resurrection. So it's still true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christ here makes a statement. He says that the authority now has been given to me. And the key is, and everybody has to understand this, what it doesn't mean is that he has taken back operating the world and under his authority. So that if that was true, and now the whole world was back under his complete authority, what would it look like?
Then we wouldn't have all the brokenness and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it would go back to the original description of perfection, you know, that Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world because he had the authority and he gave it to them and they were in concert together. And so, by the way, it's interesting that, and we also read this in Revelation, you know, as we go into eternity at some point in time, he will destroy this earth and this heaven and we'll have a new one and it will be back to being perfect, completely under his authority, both heaven and earth. Okay. So, when he says all authority has been given to me, keep thinking of the unit of the earth and the spiritual, the heavenlies. What is under his authority? The heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
Completely under his authority. In other words,
you're really differentiating as you say this. You're saying heaven and earth, one unit, and the heavenlies, a second unit, which is living in the kingdom. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, that I have the privilege, see, as a believer. Now think about this. As an unbeliever, can I live in the heavenlies?
No.
No. The only place I get to live is in the natural, is in the world, which is fallen, which I'm subject to all the entropy of the world. And I live in that and I try to manage that as best I can, but I can never overcome it at all. So I and even people that, you know, have power and might and try to manipulate and control it all, they still live in a world of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And they never get resolution to that because they're only living in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you become a believer, I accept what Christ did on the cross and he was resurrected, and I recognize that I can't achieve a relationship back with him based on my work because I can never get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. When that happens, what happens to me?
Then you have full access to him. You have the Holy Spirit and you
get
to live in the kingdom and walk in the kingdom with him where he does carry authority.
Yeah. So you think of, you know, Christ said, Paul said, this is the mystery, is that at that moment now, Christ lives in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And what? Through the Holy Spirit. He takes residence in me and I become the temple of God. So I have now, it's called being reborn. The Holy Spirit is back putting together the spiritual dimension that has the privilege of now going back to the way Adam and Eve were originally had, which was you live both in heaven. And because I'm living in a fallen earth, which is part of that unit, my life is to be directed by living in the kingdom to have him overcome the difficulties of the world that I live in. And I live in both places.
Right.
Can I be removed from that? No. Can I be exempt from it? So like we talked about the snowstorms, you know, coming up. Am I going to be exempt from that? No.
No.
I am part of that world, so I don't get... Now, I can overcome it. You have a great example. We're gonna experience a snowstorm. Father, what do you have to say? Yeah, I want you to go. How are you going to do that? I'll show you.
Right.
I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you with a moment where that storm is going to allow you to clearly drive up. And by the way, you're going to hit the end of it. But even then, I'll take care of it by giving you a snowplow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, did you exempt from it? No. Did he resolve it? Yes.
See, yes. And walked us right through it. Yeah.
Why? Because you had the privilege of living in the heavenly, the spiritual dimension to say, what is your answer to this problem in the world? And he has one. See, and so he said, all authority has been given to me that And that implies two things. One is in the heavenlies, it's complete. It's all, and all power emanates from that. And nothing can stop that. Nothing can thwart that at all. All authority has been given to me and I can execute it. And he said that will be done by that authority speaking to your situations in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. Why? Yeah, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome it. I have resolution. I have answer. I can get you through this adversity. I can give you this answer. And I can make things happen because I can speak to the circumstances that are of the world. Why? Because I created it in the first place by speaking it. That authority of the heavenly still overcomes the natural of the world and nothing can thwart it. And he does it. And this is, you know, kind of this neat kind of interesting introduction that you had these two questions is that I can do it despite free will. Now, it won't be ideal because I, you know, just think again, think simply. I have conflict with somebody. God's ideal will is both of you work it through and I'll give you an answer and you'll be reconciled. It'll be good.
But not always are both parties willing.
100%. That's my will. Okay. Okay. God, change that other person. No, I'll invite that other person. Mm-hmm. And if they say no, I still have a resolution for you. Mm-hmm. And I can make it happen. Just follow me into it and I'll do it, you know, and watch me and what I'm up to because I have the authority. So he says, the authority's been given to me. So then he says, given that you're to live in the heavenlies using the prophetic gifts, read verse Matthew 18 again. He said, here's what I'm calling you to do.
It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yeah. So he says, your role is to make disciples and you baptize them, which says, I invite them to be born again and join the opportunity of the body to live in the kingdom, to experience my will. So your role is to invite them to that. Once they understand that and have now are truly born again, I want you to teach them what it means to walk with me. And what that implies is I can show you my will by hearing my voice. I can speak to circumstances and change them. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do that in community. So invite them into the community and have them experience it so their community operates in the same way.
Right.
By what? The prophetic is speaking into each other. Teach them how to do that. Okay, now if I'm going to teach them how to do that, what do I have to learn?
I need to be doing it.
Yeah, yeah. See, so he said, the problem with the church is you bypass you experiencing it. Mm-hmm. There's lots of teaching going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do a Bible study and I learn a lot about God. Even you know, particularly when we think about forgiveness, reconciliation, scores after people say, yeah, I know all about that.
Right.
Okay. Have you forgiven that person? Mm-hmm. Have you let God resolve that relationship? Well, no. Well, then if you teach somebody to just intellectually say, I know about it, but never learn it, then I really aren't teaching them anything.
Right.
He said, so you got to learn how to live in community and let the prophetic become true to you and real to you, and then invite others into that place that they can experience the life that you've learned how to live. Mm-hmm. And the way to do it is, and discipling is come alongside of, and you don't want them discipled to you and follow you. And Paul even said that, hey, don't follow me. Mm-hmm. I want you to be following God connected to the vine, which is our ministry. What it's all about.
Absolutely.
Is we don't want you to, you know, learn a bunch of stuff. We want you to abide.
Yes.
And learn how to learn God's verse and voice and then, you know, have the prophetic. And then he says, is the kingdom is a beautiful place to live and then have it displayed in the world. So go to Psalm 103 and read verses 19 to 22.
Sure.
Psalm 103, 19 to 22.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yeah. So he says, you know, my place is in the heavens, mm-hmm. and the kingdom rules, has authority over all. And so you, his angels, you, his body, you, his host, work together to hear what I have to say and then assist others in mm-hmm. exercising the authority that comes from what I have to say, that we have the privilege that we live in both places.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you have access to me in the heavenlies and the kingdom. Stay in the kingdom, and then let's apply it, you know, to the world. Okay, go down to Psalm 119 and read verses 89 to 95.
Sure. 9 to 95 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have then perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the right?
Yep, that's good. Yeah, mm-hmm. So he says, forever, your word is fixed where? In the heavenly, see? In the spiritual, in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. It's settled in heaven, yes.
Yeah, it's settled. Your faithfulness is to have that be established on earth, and it stands fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that my role is, well, I know your word emanates and carries the power of heaven, and it's absolute.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the world. Give me the power to apply that in the world where it will stand fast and fulfill its purpose. And I will be delighted in a world of trouble, which he says,
mm-hmm.
to live it out. And if I wouldn't have followed that and let your word be true and operating in me, I would have just lived in misery.
Mm.
Okay, why? If you only live in the world, what does it say? You're going to be miserable.
Oh, yeah. In the world, you will have trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, by the way, we as humans kind of compare notes and say, well, they're wealthier than me. Well, they have more than me. Well, they seem to be blessed, you know, and how about that? By the way, David raises that up and says,
mm-hmm.
what should I think about that? It looks right. like they're doing great. And God says, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're miserable. I can attest to that because I've done a lot of work with very wealthy people, even believers who are, you know, they have the opportunity, but they live just exclusively in the world trying to figure everything out. And yeah, they have all that wealth,
mm-hmm.
but they're miserable in the process, you know, right. and their marriages aren't good and they don't enjoy life and they don't take breaks and they don't take vacations and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that stuff. Their life just isn't really that pleasant. And he said, mm-hmm. unless I had learned to enjoy the life of the kingdom, I would be miserable too, but I'm not. And by the way, I'm not even worried about the enemy that's trying to oppose me. They're not going to succeed
mm-hmm.
because I do understand that the prophetic operates in the kingdom. It's spiritually hearing what you have to say. It's applying what you have to say. And I need people around me that I serve and they serve me for the very purpose of the prophetic gifting of hearing what you have to say
mm-hmm.
and contributing it to my life. What a privilege that is,
you know, right.
that we have.
Right. Yeah, I love just I think you could just dig in for a long time on that one verse. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You know, yeah. do we really believe, you know that in our brain, believe it in our heart, and are we experiencing that? Do we believe right. that his word is truly settled? And yeah. there's a lot of power just in digging into that alone.
Yeah, yeah. And just to, you know, trust it, mm-hmm. which means that it's real and it has power and it has mm-hmm. the ability to move us into, through, and experience the grand life in the middle of adversity, in the middle mm-hmm. of a troubled world. If I believed it, no matter what I'm facing, I would say, well, okay, well, this ought to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how
that piques curiosity rather than hopelessness, right?
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to go into the process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're trying to encourage everybody about the prophetic is go into that process and say, I got to hear, I got to have people around me that hear, I got to have us process, I got to get confirmation. There will be a resolution. Your mm-hmm. word will fulfill it. I believe it. And see, I'm not relegated to whatever happens, happens, or mm-hmm. I think I'm just called to suffer. And,
right.
And God says, no, you're not. I can resolve every one of them. Now, by the way, there's a timing to it. There's all mm-hmm. these aspects to it. I didn't say I'm going to remove it immediately.
Right.
But I'll give you an answer if you have a heart to go. And that's what we're trying to say, because believe that my word is fixed and it emanates from the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Stay in the kingdom. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for just giving us this beautiful truth, is that our role is to make disciples. And making disciples means we learn how to live this way. We teach them how to live this way. And they will fulfill it by them making disciples. And that's the beauty of multiplication. And we pray that we'll be faithful to that. And you tell us that your word is firmly affixed, that your kingdom exists and it has power and has might. Our role is to stay there and rejoice that we have the privilege of that. And may we truly receive it and live it out. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.